The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, hour number two, calling in. It is Thursday, April 8th, 2021, 866-660-5759. It varies month in, month out, week in, week out, year in, year out. I always try to do things that are upbeat, things that are optimistic. It's the way that I, you know, attack life. It's the way that I go after everything. But doggone it, man. It just seems lately, it's like, oh, Lord, what else? What's the latest? What's our borders? We've lost control of our borders. Here comes the Harris-Biden administration after our Second Amendment rights. If the headlines are, they're going to get ready to roll out the first set of unilateral orders, executive orders impacting your Second Amendment rights. And then overall from government and from the private sector, from the business world, United, the airline of the Democrat Party, Delta too, American too, Coca-Cola, the soft drink of the Democrat Party, baseball, the sport of liberals. This is not the way to run a country. This is not the way to run life. All right, let's navigate through some of these with 25th District Congressman Roger Williams of Texas. Roger, welcome. Good Thursday morning. How are you, sir?
Same to you, Mark. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
Man, where to begin? Let's begin with the one that kind of is the federal government's business. We've totally lost control of the borders. It's been a couple of weeks since we spoke. There was Governor Abbott there in San Antonio saying this facility at the Freeman Coliseum is so dreadful that it should be shut down. What is the path forward? I mean, we're not the majority in the House, not the majority in the Senate. Trump's not president anymore, so it's hard. It is hard to have a positive impact.
Well, it is, and Governor Abbott is totally right. And the Biden administration has got to get serious that this is a real crisis. That's the word they don't want to use. We've got to find a way to secure these borders. I'm glad to see they may be rebuilding the wall. But people have got to be driven through the ports of entry, not between. We've got to have judges to give them to due process, to send them back home to their relatives. The idea of the Freeman Center, the Kay Bailey Hutchison Center in Dallas, and all these others, Fort Bliss, et cetera, having these people, and they don't know what they're going to do with them, Mark, except they're going to let them out. And then that's going to be an even worse problem because they have nowhere to go. So this administration's got to get serious. And the vice president's got to get serious. For heaven's sake, she's got to come to the border. She hadn't even been down there. And neither is the president. So we got to have a day that begins rebuilding this and securing the border. Hopefully it'll be today.
Congressman Roger Williams mentioned the notion of rebuilding the wall. And if that made your eyebrow go up, the story he refers to is that the Biden White House said they may restart building some of the wall despite the Biden pledge to cease construction. And it was because Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has told colleagues that some construction might resume along the border in order to plug some gaps. Well, that's funny. Why does one plug gaps in a wall that one has criticized and spoken out against for years?
Well, I mean, it's exactly, they realize what they got. I mean, they inherited a border that was relatively secure, secure as it's been in a while, a long time, and they just tore it apart. And when they're talking about rebuilding and they're talking about filling gaps, I mean, in many cases, they created the gap by breaking into the wall that was already up. So, look, this is a huge thing. It's one of the major crises we have in our country. I've got to address it. Hopefully they'll address it in a way they can feel safe politically. But we've got to rebuild the wall. We've got to go catch and release. We can't have catch and release, and we've got to put people through the ports of entry, not between, and tell them that you do it the right way and you can realize the dream. the first decision a lot of these folks are making to come to America, Mark, is to break the law, for crying out loud. I mean, that's not a way to come in. So the Biden administration needs to lay it on the line. We want you, but we want you the right way.
Congressman Roger Williams with us. And when all of these stories came to pass, when all about baseball, I think of you. I think of baseball. You played for TCU. Was it the 1971 Major League draft that the Atlanta Braves came looking for you? You played in their farm system. I think of you. I think of baseball, and I think your heart must have particularly broken as Commissioner Rob Manfred took the great game, America's pastime, and weaponized it and sacrificed it on the altar of lies and mythology about the Georgia election reforms.
No question. And frankly, I still haven't gotten over it. Baseball is kind of part of our family's life and so forth. It is America's game. It's not America's political party. And I think it was a very poor decision to do this because it played in the hands of the Democrats. Nobody talked to Republicans. And the fact of the matter is, why is baseball even getting involved politically? It's America's game. It's a game for all people.
Yeah.
And it's a game. Baseball, through history, Mark, got us out of World War II, got us out of 9/11, and will get us out of Corona if we let it and don't turn into a political situation like it is now. It's a very bad decision. I talked to a lot of the owners, and a lot of the owners said they were never even talked to about the decision, makes it important.
Of course, because this is what they had to do at baseball headquarters, just like Delta headquarters, just like Coca-Cola headquarters. They know what they've got to do to quell the mob and keep them at bay. We're entering a time where silence is complicity. That's going to get where if your company, if your sport is not saying anything about how Georgia is doing the devil's work, then that must mean you're white supremacists, and there will be hell to pay.
Well, that's right. And my heart went out to Hank Aaron, who we know Hank passed away, in my mind, the greatest player ever. He was going to be honored. He was going to be honored in Atlanta, where he yep. made all these records, where he had friends and respected,
yep.
and basically canceled culture, canceled Hank Aaron. So, and all the businesses that are being affected, there's proposed $100 million of money is not going to come into small business now because of this. And you know, a lot of small businesses in Atlanta are black-owned small businesses. So everybody was hurt by a very, very poor decision somebody eventually will have to pay the price for, and I hope it's not the game of baseball.
All right, a couple more minutes left with Congressman Roger Williams. Let me ask you something about a trip you made pretty recently, because I'm looking there at the Twitter feed, at Rep R. Williams, Rep like Representative, R like Roger Williams, Rep R. Williams on Twitter. You were meeting with some community and small business leaders to collaborate on ways to address accessible broadband for our rural communities. Wi-Fi means everything to me. When it goes down, you know, I dive into a funk. So if we talk about some folks out in the Texas hinterlands, the goal is affordable and quality internet access for Texans. And the interesting conversation has always been, is there like a right to internet? Is it a commodity we got to farm out? Who pays for that? Or is it just a private sector thing where we've got to wait for companies to provide? Is it like roads that have an obligation to go anywhere, mail that has an obligation to be delivered anywhere? Or is it like a particular type of store that may or may not open? So what's your thought on internet, the internet needs of some of the sparse, more rural parts of Texas?
We have more needs than people may think, especially in my district. And, you know, we're asking children to go to class at home. We're asking people to work at home. In many cases, they can't find a hot spot, and they got to drive up to several hours to get to the right spot so they can do their work. I think the broadband issue we have is part of infrastructure. I've always said the government should collect my taxes, defend my borders, help me with infrastructure. I've got a bill, a bipartisan bill in the House that gets $10 billion to the states to move out to the areas that need broadband in their area. Manchin and Cornyn are the sponsors over in the Senate. It's a real problem we have, and we're trying to address it with this bill. It's bipartisan. I hope, Mark, it gets put. It's a bill that gets voted on up or down, and then does not get put in a bad bill to try to drag a bad bill across the finish line that a lot of people couldn't vote for. But broadband is paramount on my mind when we begin talk about infrastructure when we get back to Washington.
here, I think, is a great way to tie a bow around our conversation. With Roger's baseball background and the lament we've had on the political weaponization of baseball, I 1,000% support Governor Abbott's decision to decline to throw out the first pitch. I mean, that morning he wrote the Rangers and said, if you guys are going to do this, I'm out. I'm not setting foot at a Major League Baseball event. And people can feel however they want to feel and punish Major League Baseball however they want. Let's call on people to make sure that they know there is baseball being played out there at so many levels by below the major leagues that where people still love the game. It is America's pastime. I know a little something. I'm going to hand you the story and let you tell it. You did show up to throw the first pitch at a very special game the other day. Tell everybody where you were.
Well, I went to Glen Rose, Texas to watch Glen Rose play Stephenville. It was a high school game. It was packed with people, moms and dads. It was baseball, and I got to throw out the first pitch. Now, someone, not sure if it was a strike or not, but I told him it was an off-speed pitch low and away.
Don't bounce it. Don't ever bounce it.
Yeah, off-speed low and away. But you're right. I mean, baseball, this is summertime. There's many, many places playing baseball other than the major leagues. There's even the smaller towns and minor league teams that are playing. Colleges are full force. I mean, you got TCU playing great right now. Last time I checked, they were undefeated in the Big 12. So plenty of place to go watch the greatest game there is, the national pastime. But I'm a first pitch thrower, but my arm is getting shorter, Mark, as I get older.
That 60 feet 6 inches, it just grows. It grows that distance from the pitching rubber to the plate. I don't know. It just keeps getting longer. Congressman Roger Williams, Rep R. Williams on Twitter, williams.house.gov. So for the congressional website, thank you, Roger. Appreciate you always.
Thank you, Mark. God bless.
That is Congressman Roger Williams, 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 823. It is 829 866 660-5759. Little Johnny Lang, still raining. That is not a weather forecast for today. All right, here is a show forecast. Coming up 9:05, George Pease at 9:05, correct, Rhonda? Coming up at 9:05, Land Commissioner and famous Bush family member George P. Bush. He will join us. And when we come back, we had a couple of folks that are on Hannity. Congressman Jim Jordan is down at the border in McAllen. Michael Pearson, an attorney and former air traffic controller, was on with Tucker last night talking about the insanity of United Airlines. This virtue signaling, it's just to keep the activists at bay. It's so that they want, because if, let's say, United just decided to shut up and fly people to places and not crash the planes. That's all I want. Get me somewhere on time and don't let me die. If you do those two things, I am so happy. And if you do those two things, I do not care what the pilot looks like. Well, at United, they care deeply what the pilot looks like. 50% of their trainees in the next 10 years will be women or people of color. Now, first of all, God bless women or people of color, all of whom can be great pilots. But when that becomes more important than qualifications, they're sacrificing their priorities Dennis Prager has just the perfect line on this. Everything the left touches, it destroys. Everything. Patriotism, athletic competition, your daughter's high school track meet, because you got to have a dude running against a dude now. COVID response with extremism and authoritarianism. And now, you know, the notion of getting on a plane and believing that the airline has first and foremost made sure they have the best pilots. Because suddenly it matters what color the pilot is. The pigment and the plumbing mean more than the qualifications. This is ruinous to our society. Right, so a couple of things to play, things to do, and the sound I crave the most, of course, you on the phone. So grab a line, 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 831 in the newsroom. Here's Gordon Griffin. It is 8:38. Little Joe Walsh, Meadows. 866-660-5759. All right, all right, all right. Let's roll to your calls and then other audio. I've got to play stuff going on in the news. These are busy times. It's like keeping plates spinning on top of various poles on an old episode of the Ed Sullivan Show. We can do it. 866-660-5759. We're in Addison, Dale. Hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. Did I hear Mike earlier say that he took the vaccination and was having some abdominal issues?
He did. He got Johnson & Johnson a couple of weeks ago, or better part of a month ago, and had no side effects. And as we've kind of, I don't want my buddy to have any kind of discomfort of any kind related to anything, but as he has wrestled with the oddity of a sort of essentially some urinary tract duct blockage of some sort that's caused him a great deal of pain on and off, and it's not doesn't seem to be resolving. He was at a subsequent doctor appointment, and you ask, you know, nothing wrong with asking, and say, is there any history of anything like this happening coming off the Johnson & Johnson? Is it possible that this is some side effect of that? His doctor, this is a good answer. His doctor said, I don't know. I wish more scientists said that. I don't know. Can't rule it out. And so, and I think there is some story, hang on a minute, where is this, of 10 or 11 people who had something. I mean, we will always be able to find people who had something go south at some point after the vaccine. Which gives me two reactions, and then I want to hand you the talking stick. One is, I don't ever want to suppress stories of things that happen, because little stories of things happening can be a precursor toward broader stories of things happening. But the other thing I don't want to have happen, because there are people who will do this, is they'll take some story of some one person or five people or 11 people who had something happen, and they'll take that and instantly use that and weaponize that and go, "Bob, that's it. That's it. I told you." So anyway, floor is yours.
Okay, well, it appears that between Colorado and what's going on in France and some other overseas countries that they're not using the vaccines because they're seeing damages from it.
Yeah.
So
I don't want to say hysteria. AstraZeneca had some blood clot issues in Europe, and a lot of people freaked out and said, and listen, if somebody wants to err overly on the side of caution, either with in their country and what they want to do or in their lives of what they want to do, I'm not going to badger them or berate them. I tend to be kind of a really big picture person and take a look at like our country and the whole world and every available vaccine from J&J to Moderna and Pfizer, and ask the overall question. And that is that, is there throughout every avenue of this, is there an overall alarming rate of bad reactions to a degree where people, should actively think about not getting it? And that answer is decidedly no. Decidedly no. Now, that's right now. If, 1,000 people in one state or 30,000 people in some country are dropping dead or sprouting a third eyeball or something like that, I'll be the first person to go, man, we have to take a look at this. But there are people who will hasten to this because they have an agenda, and which doesn't mean I'm going to be deaf to that or ignore that. But I don't know. So that's just me. What about you?
Well, I understand. What I have a hard time with is the media is not telling us the truth. They can't even tell us how many people died at the Capitol for what reason.
Yeah, tell me. Yeah.
So it's really hard for me to put any weight and credence on just what the media is telling us when it really appears that they like to whitewash us.
No doubt. But here's what you do. If it's kind of a joke, but kind of not. If CNN says that the sky is blue and grass is green, you should still run outside to check, but here's seriously what I mean. If there's a media narrative, And the media seem to be pretty pro-vaccine at the moment. So, okay. So you then say, all right, is there a reason to be suspicious of that? I can't really think of one. Secondly, is there anybody else saying that? Is it like only something the left is saying? Well, there is somebody else who was enormously enthusiastic about getting a vaccine to people. His name was Donald Trump. You know, it was an enormous, and maybe one of the, honestly, historically, might be one of the greatest things in a bipartisan way. I mean, my favorite things are like borders, constitutionalist justices, please let them become that, and other things that he did. But as far as what the broadest cross-section of people may look back on him and appreciate is Operation Warp Speed. So the notion of the wisdom and benefit of the vaccines is in no way limited to something that, you know, the media culture is telling you. Virtually everyone is telling you.
Right. Well, and that brings it back to just like the border wall. Yeah, Trump got that started and Biden shut it down.
Yep, for the moment.
So just because Trump got the vaccine started doesn't mean that they changed the formula into something else at some point.
Man.
It's just, it's really hard to trust.
I just want to run that last by me again. Just because Trump started,
Because Trump started the wall.
Right.
Biden stopped the wall.
Well, I know about that out about the wall. And my favorite thing is Biden is restarting parts of the wall to fill gaps. So thank you for that. But that's what he says. What was the COVID point?
Just because Trump started the vaccine
doesn't
mean that they didn't change it at some point after he left.
Who changed it from what to what?
I don't know. Who stopped building the wall?
No, get off the wall. No pun intended. What? Because there's enough real things in the world to be worried about. There's real things. There's things that might, for example, gun grabbing. The announcement that Joe Biden will make today do not rise to the level of coming to your house to get your guns. Could it, however, be a first step in that direction? You bet it could. So that's a potential danger. The third category is making crap up. And there's enough in the first two categories that make it a needless exercise to make crap up. So don't do that. And I think just if I'm understanding you correctly, and I've asked twice, the notion that the Biden, you know, the treacherous Biden, the Harris-Biden regime took a good vaccine and is now doing dreadful things to it for some dark reason.
Well,
which makes no sense. I mean, the Biden people are telling you to get the vaccine every doggone day. Why in the world would they tell you to make a vaccine that has bad reactions?
Are any of them FDA approved yet?
They went
any
through
of them.
Whatever FDA approval even means anymore. They went through every avenue, every turnstile of Operation Warp Speed was under the most heavy scrutiny of everybody that's in the scrutiny business of vaccines. The notion that these things have hit the marketplace in some loosey-goosey, dangerous, reckless, unfettered way is factually false. Just factually false.
And you, the media, are telling me this.
You know what? I'm telling you that. Donald Trump is telling you that. People who you trust and whom I trust are telling you that.
I don't trust anybody.
Well, that's a horrible way to live. That's a horrible way to live. It just is. It is burdensome. I do talk shows for a living. I'm here to tell you every day what is screwed up, and that list grows every day, especially with these people in charge. But if you go to the point where, well, I don't trust anybody, dude, anybody? Of course you do. That can't be true. That can't be true.
The list seems to dwindle off.
I know. I know it does. I believe you me. I know it does. But if we get to the point where we kind of shut down and we say just that everything, that everybody, it's kind of like the call I get from people who go, I don't vote or I don't support anybody because all the politicians are corrupt. They're all liars and they're all in it for themselves. A, factually false. And it's overly cynical. You got to work harder every day, it seems, to find people you can trust, to find people who deserve your vote, to find people who are reliable. No doubt about that. Don't give up, because if you give up, it's just not good. It's not good for you, not good for the country. But hang with me, and any doubts, any anything, bring it to me and we'll talk about it. I really appreciate your call anytime. 847-866-660-5759 as we head to Rockwall. Hey, Chris, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you? Happy Thursday.
Hey, how you doing,
man? I'm good. I'm good.
Hey, you always talk down to conspiracy stuff, you know what I mean? Everybody knows Bill Gates is a depopulationist, man. He done got kicked out of India for damaging all them people over there, you know?
Right.
And there's the depopulationist, man, Robert Redford, Bill Gates.
Well, no, okay.
George Soros is behind all this crap, man, and you're willing to sit down there and take them vaccines from these people, man.
Yeah. Well, actually, man, the vaccine is not coming from Bill Gates or George Soros.
I don't know what it's doing. I know one thing, that all the people that I just talked about own all these corporations that own all these manufacturers, man.
I know. But here's the problem, though, man. Does that mean that just because the occasional unsavory soul, I mean, I guarantee you're driving cars, hopping on airlines, talking on a phone, you know, that's made by, I could find somebody sinister attached to everything you own. No, I understand. I can find something sinister in everything you own and everything you do. It's just, and it's an exhausting way to live. It's just, it's exhausting to live that way. It kind of is, man. It really, really is. And I want better for you. 849, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Man. Thursday, the 8th day of April, 8:55. Glad you are here. Little Karen White, Slow Down. All righty. 866-660-5759. Chuck, happy Thursday. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Mark. I sure love your show.
Thank you. I want to love you back. Thank you.
My wife keeps asking me for a definition of woke, and while I know it when I see it, I can't come up with a generalized definition. Can you help me?
I sure can. Okay, and it's funny because it's like the word was coined some time ago, not so very long, and it was just a reference to someone who happened to have this characteristic. Now it is a palpable danger to society. So here we go. It's kind of on the fly, so I'll cobble this together conversationally. To be woke, wokeness, is to be so attentive to real or perceived injustice in terms of race or gender or anything, to have a radar that is so honed to injustice that it's to a fault. You're finding things that aren't in fact there, or overreacting in ways that are not reasonable, or over accusing people who are not in fact guilty. So if sensitivity is good, and it is, oversensitivity is not, and that is wokeness. If seeking racial justice is good, seeking racial revenge is not, and that is wokeness. If being tolerant and kind of people who are going through a rough patch in life because of things like gender dysphoria or who knows what, if that is good, demanding that others celebrate that is wokeness, and it is bad. Did that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
I live to serve. Thank you, man. Well, I should have written that down. Quick, somebody get the podcast. All right, 86. The podcasts are available, of course, at 660amtheanswer.com. Click podcast, Mark Davis, and enjoy today's entire program, including that thoroughly accidental, pretty decent definition of what that term means. Hey, Land Commissioner George P. Bush. He's in an interesting political family and in an interesting job. We'll talk about both when he joins us next. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.